Thank you so much. I think we're speaking.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much. Brian, I think we're going to experience load shedding in the next 6 minutes or so, in which case I will have to switch over. I'm going to organize a backup now, so I'm connecting my iPad.
All right.
So that if I go off here, I'm able to be on another line. Okay? All right, I'm doing that now. Where is this thing? Okay, that's fine. I will call him up first. All right.
Molo mthakazi.
Molo njani?
Ndisaphuyile ezilalini ndizidala edolophini.
Oh, usitholile. I heard that you were going to pick a spot esizokwenza ukuthi ukwazi ukuxhumana.
Ndiyaza ke ndisuke lapha elalini kudala mani ubheka icele esivalele usenza abakhwetha lapha.
Hayi mani, hayi mani. So siyabonga ukuthi uhambe kahle.
No, I post that.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm fine, man.
No,
You are audible, Chair.
Oh, thank you so much. Colleagues, may I start the meeting? Thank you so much. I have had to switch off, from my laptop. I'm now using my iPad. Right. Colleagues, thank you very much. We have two items today. In fact, it's one item we're considering. The adjustment budget reports, two votes. Vote 23, that's defense, and vote 26, military veterans. I want to assume that the departments, the minister has referred all the necessary documents to the speaker. Brian, may I establish that the Minister of Finance tabled his budget, and then the ministers of the various departments were expected to table their adjusted annual business plan and plans, and which will then be referred to the portfolio committee for consideration and report back to the House. And have you seen the tabling, Brian?
Chair, I have seen the tabling, but I'm yet to see for the DOG as well as the DMV. I sent the communication to the DOG that I've already tabled the DOG as well. But I know that the entities have already been
No. Was it on the side, Brian?
I'm sorry, sir.
I pick up some noise. Was it on the side?
No, it was not, sir.
It was not on the side. So, okay, the minister has complied with that requirement.
Yes, that is correct, sir.
And the reports have since been referred to us, I would imagine so.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, in other words, we can then conclude on this on this matter, right? So I will ask Dr. Willem Jansen van Respect to beam up the report on the DOD. We'll take discussions on DOD and conclude on it. After which we'll then invite Peter Daniels to take us through the report of the DMV, and we'll do the same thing. I'm not too sure, colleagues, if you want us to start with the minutes, but I thought we should dispense with the minutes and simply focus on the reports. The main frame of the report, colleagues, is the budget. For DOD, it must confine itself to the 4.5 billion rand adjustments, which turned out to be a 3 billion rand. And so we look at the impact of this adjustment on the programs, on the classification, classification items, and the impact on the targets. Once we are done with that and concluded on it, we'll then do the same thing with the DMV. The DMV is down by 100, its budget was reduced by 137 million rand. So our focus is on the impact of the 137 million rand on the programs of the department. And AMSCO, its budget was reduced by 120 million rand. So the report must talk to the impact of this 120 million rand on the programs and the activities of AMSCO. And CCP's budget went up. It's a lifeline, a 3 million rand lifeline, to take into account the fact that they have not been operating for the first 6 months of the year, since they operate in the tourism space and the tourism industry is heavily affected by COVID. So they are 3 million rand. So in other words, we look at the 3 million rand versus its programs.
Yeah.
And so in other words, this report must zoom into that. I did mention, colleagues, previously that the presentation on the adjustment budget was not an invitation to us to open a discussion on the whole budget, you know, the 55 billion rand budget of the Defence Force, or the 700 million rand budget of the Defence Force. So I ask colleagues to resist the temptation to open up the discussion, in other words, to rediscuss the whole budget. And so in a way, trying to focus the colleagues on the adjustments, the adjusted budget, as it were. In other words, the adjustments and the impact of those adjustments on the programs and activities of the various departments. All right, so the report must then talk to it. I think it does talk to it. I now invite you, to take a look at the report.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to confirm whether you can view the, whether the screen is shared. Can you see the report on your side?
Yes, I do see it. Colleagues, can you see the report on your side?
Yes, it's visible.
Thank you so much, Dr. Doc.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I'm just going to go quickly through the report. There's two reports to deal with today. This report is specifically on vote 23, which deals with the Department of Defence, the Castle Control Board, and Arms Corps. And we broke the report up into three sections dealing with those three aspects. The report was circulated, so I'll just highlight the main points and then focus more in depth on the observations and recommendations that flowed from the previous meeting. The report, to start off with part A, the report first focused on the Department of Defense and the implications of the COVID-19 pandemic on the mandate of the department. And then from there, it's just a brief overview. It delves into the analysis of the revised budget. And as you can see there, we included the main appropriation, as well as in the table, the suspension of funds that was taken away from the department, but the inclusion of the COVID-19 allocation of just over 4 billion rands. And I think this section provides a nice broad overview of the changes made to the budget. As you correctly mentioned, Chair, in section 2.2, we'll also look at the adjustments for economic classification, where we look at compensation of employees, where an additional 760 million was allocated for compensation of employees. Crucially, we also included here that this does not resolve the problem that the department has with compensation of employees, and it will still incur irregular expenditure in this regard. Other economic classification aspects, we looked at goods and services, changes to goods and services, public corporations and private enterprises, which we'll touch on. Those are the Arms Corps and CCB changes, and then machinery and equipment. Section 2.3, we looked at additional comments made by the Department of Defense. We'll just have to fix that spelling mistake there. Additional comments made by the Department of Defense during their presentation. This is the overall requirements for COVID-19 and how the funds were spent, but we'll get to an observation in this regard as well, the breakdown of the funds specifically for COVID-19. There was also a requirement to review how the revised budget impacts on the recommendations made by the committee during the previous budget vote. And there were a number of recommendations that could be affected. The first one, I'm going to quickly go through these. The first one refers to the committee that urged the DoD to ensure that all SANDF personnel deployed to assist the department in the fight against COVID are well prepared and issued with the relevant protective gear. In the italics under that, the impact of this could be the prerequisite state in this recommendation still remains relevant, but it may be impacted by the fact that less funding than required were provided to the DoD for the COVID-19 deployment. So this is perhaps something to keep in mind and to track. Secondly, the DoD should include in its annual report a list of areas in which it assisted other government departments. In retrospect, this was quite a good recommendation from the committee side, as there's been a number of instances where the SANDF has assisted other departments, and it will be good to see how to track this and to see whether they were reimbursed for such services where applicable. The third one is that the committee undertook to continuously engage the DoD on progress regarding Project Hoofeister, Biro, and Hotel. What was coming from the adjusted budget and specifically from the presentation by Arms Corps is that given the current fiscal constraints, pressure on the funding of these projects will remain high. So that is a recommendation that could be affected. The second last one there is that the committee also encouraged the department to fast track the sweating of assets to ensure maximum benefits to the SANDF. In this regard, the DoD should share with the committee its detailed plans once completed for the sweating of assets. How this has impacted this recommendation is that the sweating of assets can offer an opportunity to assist in the current difficult fiscal position that the department finds itself, but the current economic outlook might also limit the scale of returns of the sweating of assets. And perhaps this is something that could be followed up with the department on their plans for sweating of assets going forward. And lastly, one of the recommendations that could be impacted is that the committee urge the DOD and National Treasury to find a way to avoid irregular expenditure on compensation of employees. The way that this impacted is that the special adjustment budget revealed no real progress has been made in this matter. While National Treasury allocated an extra 720 million rand for compensation of employees, the shortfall is still expected to be approximately 3 billion rand. By the end of the financial year, and this was confirmed during the presentation last week. So, Chair, those are just the that's a reflection on the previous recommendations and how the current budget might impact on the recommendations the committee made. If we move to last week's meeting and we look at the observations that were made during during the meeting, were captured as follows. Firstly, a number of members expressed concern about the lack of senior accounting officers' presence in the meeting, specifically the Secretary of Defense, Minister of Defense, and Chief of the SANDF. Secondly, the committee required clarity about the amounts the DOD received to fight COVID-19, as an amount of 4.5 billion was proposed as per the President's deployment letter, but the DOD only reported on 3 billion rand. While it was explained that they applied for 4.5 billion rand, National Treasury revised it downwards, with the net increase for the DOD being approximately 3 billion rand. Another observation was regarding members that wanted a specific breakdown of the various budgetary items, as several were identified at an earlier meeting, but the reporting did not cover all these items. The committee emphasized the need for a proper business plan with objectives. You'll recall in the earlier section we referred to some expenditure items for the COVID funding, but the feeling amongst some members were that more detail on this is required. The next observation were related to questions around the purchase of protective gear and equipment from China, specifically given the fact that some of these products can be sourced locally. I think Honourable Mutle raised this point. Sorry, Chair, my internet just disconnected. I just want to get back to the shared page. Is it visible on your side?
Yes, we can see it, Willem.
Okay. All right, thank you. I'll continue with the second last one. The third last point, which was the purchasing of protective gear and other equipment from China, given that some of the products can be sourced locally. The response that was received that was the majority of goods are produced locally and that only ventilators were purchased and fetched from China. Second last observation related to members that noted the fact that an additional 1.5 billion was required for the extension of the SANDF's deployment, and that refers to the new deployment letter that, that was submitted to Parliament. However, it was noted that this the funding referred to in this new letter that was tabled in Parliament does not form part of the consideration of the special adjustment budget that was tabled on 24 June. Lastly, the committee inquired about the cost of repatriation flights from China, and the DOD responded that they are in the process of claiming these costs from DIRCO. So flowing from these observations, Chair and Honourable Members, some recommendations that can be made. Firstly, the committee informed the leader of the delegation, Dr. Gamede, to relay the committee's extreme discomfort with the absence of specifically the Secretary for Defense, the CFO, as well as the Chief SANDF at a crucial meeting to discuss the finances of the department and the SANDF in their fight against the pandemic. Secondly, the DOD is required to submit a detailed written plan to the committee on its planning expenditure in relation to its COVID-19 deployment. That refers to the business plan that members related to. The plan should include payments made thus far, objectives achieved, objectives still to be achieved, and payments still to be made. In addition to this breakdown, the document should, to be submitted should also provide a similar breakdown of the envisaged objectives and planned payments for the extension of the SANDF's COVID-19 deployment. And that then addresses the concern around the 1.5 billion rand, so that the committee has a view of how these funds will be spent going forward. The report should be submitted to the committee no later than 30 July 2020. This time frame was put in there to align with the committee's return to oversight activities and also to ensure the timely oversight of these funds are achieved. Second last recommendation, the committee welcomes plans to recover funds for repatriation flights from DIRCO. The DOD should indicate at future engagements with the committee progress made in the recovery of these funds. Lastly, the committee welcomes the important supporting role that the SANDF is playing during the, South Africa's effort to curb the spread of COVID-19. The committee further encourages the accounting officer of the DOD to ensure that planning is in line with set objectives, but also cognizant of the current fiscal constraints. So that concludes the section on the Department of Defense. Chair, would you like us to first deal with that, or can I pass on to Peter to take you through the CCB's section as well? Chair, you're on mute.
My apologies. Yes, conclude the CCP is part of the DOD's budget.
All right, Chair, I'll pass on to Peter. He will take you through the section on the Castle Control Board.
Thank you, Chair. Wilhelm, can I ask you to just enlarge it a little bit? Wilhelm?
Yeah. Is that better?
Okay, thank you. Chair, members, colleagues, we move over to the Castle Control Board. There in paragraph one, we're just stating there the implications of the pandemic on the castle. And as the chair has mentioned in his introduction, the castle is basically self-sustaining and derives its revenue mainly from visitors, events, and so on. And because they were closed down, they didn't have any revenue coming in, and therefore they applied to the DOD for a 3 million relief package. And during their presentation to the committee last week, these are some of the things that I've mentioned. First, initially they made an application for 1.6 million relief, but that was based on the fact that they would return in August 2020. However, in our discussions with them at that stage, we said we think that's a bit unrealistic, and they will most likely only return back to business in December 2020, and then the amount was then changed to 3 million rand. And so on the 20th of May, the Defence Force transferred 3 million rand to the CCB, but in the process, they've also applied for UIF application for their employees. And this was successful, and around 57,000 rand was paid over to them on the 28th of May. But having received the 3 million rand, they had the management meeting and then decided that they will return the UIF funds. And then from the 11th of June 2020 onwards, the salaries returned to normal. Everything was then sorted out there. The next thing is that they've also submitted their annual performance plan and budget to National Treasury. And in this, they made provision for an operational subsidy. Remember, this is around 4.5 million that they've been receiving the last 2 years. But they are saying, with regards to this application, with the severe budget cuts and reallocations, the chances are actually slim to receive that 4.5 million rand this year. The next one, and this is important for us to note, is that they've reprioritized their 2021 budget. They downscaled it from the original 8.9 million to 4.6 million. And lastly, they are just saying there that they believe that sustainability will be a challenge unless they see a swift turnaround in the tourism and event sector. The next one is basically just an analysis how they actually now have adjusted their budget and the various items in that. And the second table there, or the third table, table three, will actually show how they plan to use this 3 million rand relief fund. Next page, please. They are just saying in the meeting with us last week that, you know, they've updated us on how they're going to utilize the 3.1 million. Let's go back, please. And secondly, we are all aware that they were basically on lockdown, and they want us to take note how they've actually now planned to address this. And then thirdly, and this is an important thing for all of us, they've actually started now instituting measures to deal with the going concern status post-COVID-19. Okay, the next one, as Willem also did, is we were expected to indicate how actually the revised budget will impact on the budget that have been allocated to the CCB. And in our June 2020 budget report, these were some of the things that we've indicated. And the first thing was that it's basically an existential situation for the castle. As they call it, their business, extraordinary, unusual, because of the COVID pandemic and impact on their business. But there we are saying, as explained above, the CCB is gradually returning to normal, and with a 3 million relief package, they should be able to operate until December 2020, when it is expected to be fully operational. The next item there, the members just inquired around the assistance that the CCB has been giving to their qualifying employees. And as indicated above, they have done this successfully. And when they receive the 3 million rand, they actually returned it. The next one is just about their plans to approach the National Treasury if they didn't receive the 1.6 million rand. But as we indicated earlier, they've received a 3 million relief package, so this basically addressed the specific concern. The next one is the issue around the going concern, and we're just saying there that the revised annual performance plan and the strategic plan will incorporate the measures to address the going concern challenges. So the next section starts dealing with the observations by the committee. The first one there is that a committee noted the gradual return to normality for the castle, and especially, you know, that visitors and so on, other business can now slowly come back to the castle, and we just requested them to adjust their planning accordingly. The next one is the 3 million rand relief package that we welcome, and we're just saying to them, we are glad that they've actually utilized the situation and also that they look well after their stuff. And the last one is just relates to the going concern, but as I said, it's being addressed in the revised annual performance plan. And then the related committee recommendation is that they next time should present the revised annual performance plan, and at the next annual report the meeting, they can just update us as to what they've done with the money that have been allocated to them. The second one there, the committee encouraged the CCB to continue to take care of its employees as it gradually opens to business, and that it will hopefully be able to be fully operational in December 2020. The last one is just the committee recommended that the CCB should emphasize in its revised annual performance plan and strategic plan how it will address the going concern challenges. Chair, that is it with related to the Castle Control Board. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
I'm school.
Yes, Chair, thank you, honourable members. This is the last section of this report relates to AmsCore. And first of all, we also looked just briefly at the implications of the COVID-19 pandemic on the mandate of AmsCore. And here we've broadly referred to the 120 million rand that reduction in the transfer that it receives from the Department of Defense normally. The revised budgetary outlook per division, we broke this section down as well in terms of the Arms Corps Corporate, Arms Corps Research and Development, and the Arms Corps Dockyard. And you'll see that Arms Corps Corporate moves from a projected surplus of 2.4 million rand to a projected deficit of 141.8 million rand. Similarly, Arms Corps Research and Development section will increase its deficit from projected deficit of 1.9 million rand to 92.7 million rand. And the dockyard also moves from a projected surplus of 300,000 rand to a projected deficit of 8.9 million rand. So this makes it clear how the outlook for Arms Corps has been affected, where it was looking at a very small marginal surplus at the end of the financial year. It is now looking at a substantial deficit at the end of the year. Arms Corps also noted that it's taking the following steps to limit the shortfall, and you'll see in the recommendation sections we return to this. First of all, no salary increases, which is likely to save 48 million rand. No performance remuneration, which is likely to save 41 million rand. The reduction of operating costs by 5%, which can save up to 17 million rand. They're also looking to offer voluntary severance packages. And lastly, they're looking at possible retrenchments if the transfer payment is reduced in the following years. So this might be something as well for the committee to keep an eye on. Number three is the implications on service delivery targets. Here specifically, we looked at the at the special defense accounts and the impact that this has on the defense industry as a whole. You'll see here in graph one included this to look at Arms Corps projects per year. And you'll see that since 2014-15, there's been a gradual decrease in the number of projects that it's managing per year. And if we look at 21-22, the outlying years of the NTSF, there is very little to no program projects on its radar. And this is largely due to the funding of the special defense account. In relation to the risk notes above, Arms Corps also highlighted serious project financial risks, and this we'll also get to in the observations, but there was a lot of discussion about this. This is related to the funding problems with Project Zoofeister, Project Biro, and Project Hotel, and Arms Corps indicated that this will have a detrimental effect on the defense industry, which could lose to loss of capacity, skills, loss of jobs, loss of strategic capabilities to the SANDF, a reduction in the competitive edge of the local defense industry, and a reduced capability of the SANDF due to obsolete and technologically aged equipment. As in the previous sections of this report, we also looked at how the revised budget impacts on the recommendations made during the budget votes. Firstly, one of the recommendations that the committee made was the committee remains concerned around the status of projects Zoofeister, Biro, and Hotel. The way that the adjustments budget might impact on this is that this concern is amplified by the current financial situation and was highlighted as such by Arms Corps during its presentation. The second recommendation that can be impacted was the committee that encouraged Arms Corps to expand the number of rural schools to which it conducts outreach programs and to report on these in its 2021 annual report. This recommendation is unlikely to be fulfilled due to the COVID-19 travel restrictions and budgetary constraints. In fact, there's a number of projects that Arms Corps annually performs, including its participation in the AAD Expo, which has since been cancelled, so this recommendation will most likely not be achieved. Lastly, the committee stated that given expected economic constraints over the medium term, the committee encourages Arms Corps to maintain austerity measures and to find additional means of cost savings, increasing revenue, and increasing revenue generation. The committee also encourages the Arms Corps board to take into account the difficult financial climate when considering performance bonuses. The adjusted budget has an impact on this. The reduced transfers to OMSCore under the special adjustment budget further highlights the need for austerity. Cost-saving measures were highlighted to the committee during the OMSCore presentation on 8 July, but these are subject to board approval. So, Chair and Honourable Members, go to the observations during last week's meeting then. Firstly, members expressed concern around the potential lack of funding for major acquisition projects, and the discussion revolved specifically around projects Spiro, Hotel, and Project Blue Face there. Secondly, in relation to these ongoing projects, members expressed concern on the potential impact of a lack of funding for such projects on Denel. OMSCore indicated to the committee that currently it has orders to the value of 4.3 billion rand with Denel, which is 42% of its order book. And should the lack of funding for these strategic projects continue, it will have a severely detrimental effect on Denel and the order book that OMSCore has with Denel. Thirdly, the committee highlighted the threat of penalties should OMSCore and the DoD pull out of the committed projects, especially given that the committee was informed that such penalties would be extremely high. It was noted that this would run into billions of rands, these penalties. As such, the committee was also informed that OMSCore currently has around 800 million rand in reserves, but that these are earmarked for buildings, the medical care program for the dockyard, etc. In total, around 500 million rand is allocated, and 300 million rand will now be depleted in the medium term due to the lower transfer. Flowing from these observations, the following recommendations came. The committee encourages the executive authority to engage the National Treasury and the relevant role players regarding the future funding of ongoing projects. The committee further urges the relevant role players to seek solutions that will protect the investments made towards these projects thus far. The committee also encourages OMSCore and Denel to continue deliberations and to find solutions for the management of the 4.3 billion rand order book that is currently with Denel. The committee specifically urges Denel to ensure timely and cost-effective delivery on paid projects. Thirdly, OMSCore should submit a report to the committee outlining the progress with the cost-saving initiatives it undertook. And lastly, the committee appreciated the fact that OMSCore could build up a reserve of 800 million rand, and OMSCore is urged to utilize these funds wisely, specifically for the long-term sustainability of the entity. Chair, that's the end of the report dealing with the Department of Defense, the CCB, and OMSCore.
Colleagues, thank you very much, Peter. Thank you very much, Willem, for the presentation. Colleagues, this is what we are putting on the table as constituting the report arising from our consideration of the adjustment budget for vote 23, that is the Department of Defense. May I now invite comments, colleagues? Mr. Mare, I recognize General Olumisa.
Yes, Chair.
I recognize Thabo Mutle. Does that take care of all those who want to talk to this? I recognize Mr. Reda. Right, colleagues, these are the four I've recognized so far. I will start with Mr. Mare, then General Olumisa, then Thabo Mutle, then Mr. Ryder. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Dr. Vereensburg, Jan-Sir Vereensburg, for the report. I think it's, again, a very, very comprehensive and a very detailed report. My only question will go back to, just for clarity purposes, and that's right to the beginning in terms of the amounts that we're talking about. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And Chairperson, you've also referred to 3 billion rand. If I'm correct, the DoD has requested 4.5 billion rand. The National Treasury in the adjusted budget has given 4.09 billion rand. Although you've referred to a in effect, 3 billion rand, is it only 2.88 billion rand in terms of the amounts that Dr. Van Rensburg has given us. So I just wanted to make sure of that, because further on in the report, it also refers to average or about or expected, and I just wanted to make sure of the amounts that is in the adjusted budget, because if that is the case, then we know where we are, and that is not different amounts or either 4.5. It's 4.09 billion rand, and the in effect it is 2.88 billion rand, and that means that they are being cut in their own budget to the amount of 1.212 billion rand and not any other amount. Can you just clarify that for me? And I'll appreciate for the rest. It is, again, a brilliant report, and it is something that I can associate myself with. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mare. General?
Chairperson and colleagues, this debate of budget cuts is not new to us. I would instead request us that we should avoid press panic buttons on this issue. The situation is not normal, as we all know. We may have to send a message to the United Nations to the effect that due to COVID-19, some of the operations on these peacekeeping missions may not be possible. As you know, that we have to use our money first, and it takes time to claim these monies back. And sometimes we are penalized because our equipment is not in a state of readiness. So by sending that message, we will also be saying to them, the priorities now are at home. We have to save the lives of South Africans first, and also to save the lives of our soldiers. Secondly, we must call for a high level of discipline in using the monies allocated to the Department of Defense. This department has history of returning monies back to the National Treasure, and we are always told all funny excuses. But of course, the government or the ruling party, especially the study group of the ANC in the defense, you need to assist us and assist the country. It is frustrating. How many times have we recommended what steps should be taken by the leadership of the defense? Both the Commission of the Defense, Permanent Commission, portfolio committees, all these years. But I sense that to keep people at leadership for a long time in this department is costing us. Because I heard you earlier on saying that the minister, the defense command, the commander of the defense and the sector, they tend to ignore the invitations from yourself or to account to the committee. How I wish that the selection or the appointment of a new sector could be speeded up so that we can energize that this department. Very frustrating. Thank you.
Thank you so much, General. Mr. Mutle.
Well, no, thank you, Chair. And let me also join the chorus and welcome the presentation, or the comprehensive report presented by both Dr. Willem and Peter. Chair, just two points that I want to raise. The first one is on DOD, on the recommendation. I think we must make an addition on the second recommendation that speaks to DOD reporting to the portfolio committee and how they should report in terms of what is mentioned there, that they must give us their procurement plan, their business plan, so forth and so on. In addition to that recommendation, Chair, I think we have made mention that they must also give us a spreadsheet so that we can be able to play oversight and see if the department is indeed implementing the transformational agenda, so that we are able to see whether there is no cartel of some sort in the procurement of the Defence Force. We need to be able to check whether women are empowered, are given opportunities, young people are given opportunity, and generally, historically disadvantaged individuals are the ones that are given these opportunities. So it must be crafted properly. And it will not only apply to the COVID-19 relief fund, which is I'm not sure whether it's now 3 billion or it's still 4.5 billion, according to what they have reported, whatever the amount it is. But this must also translate to the general procurement that the DOD is conducting, so that we are able to keep track of the transformational agenda and break cartels, if there are cartels anywhere within the system. Second point, Chair, is on AMSCO. I think we have made a recommendation, which I haven't seen on the report, but I mean, this thing of budgeting over years and making comparison with previous years, given the budgetary constraints, it does not really assist. Therefore, we have made a recommendation that they must consider using a zero budget methodology, so that they don't look at what they had before and what they must have in future, because the economical condition does not allow for that kind of budgeting going forward, because there will always be an outcry. But probably if they apply zero budgeting, they will then work within what they have, what is allocated, and build up on what is allocated to them going forward. So, yeah, I think those are the two points that I wanted to raise, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The zero-based budgeting item is in relation to AMSCO.
Yes, Chair, it's in relation to AMSCO.
And that's fine. I wanted just to get clearly. And Mr. Ryder?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, yes, you'll note my position as an invited guest into this meeting gives me a bit of unique insight. And at the outset, I'd like to just say that the quality of your report and the timeframes in which your reports are delivered are excellent and unequaled by the majority of other departments. I just want to let the rest of the committee members know how lucky they are. I know that there's some real old campaigners there, but certainly the quality and the time frames really are excellent. So appreciation, a strong word of appreciation to the staff from my side. I've been largely covered by Mr. Murray. I think that I'd like to associate myself closely with what he said. General Alamis also spoke about the discipline needed, and I think that's very important. The real point that I wanted to make, and Mr. Mutlia kept zero-based budgeting only to the Arms Corps side. I think zero-based budgeting is something that needs to happen throughout the Department of Defense, because we're sitting with an unfunded organigram already. That tells you that we need to go back to the drawing board and reassess what Department of Defense is doing, compared to what the Treasury is expecting it to do. In addition to which, I think that while, yes, the comments in the report are all accurate and correct and in agreement, the fact is that the employment letters from the president effectively are setting this department up for failure going forward. And as such, while I think your report is an excellent document, I think that the budget itself is highly problematic. And I think personally, I think it would be irresponsible, if not a dereliction of duty, for any MP to support the adjustment budget. Certainly, I mean, based on Dr. Josef van Rensburg's own words, he said there will be reduced capability of the SANDF, and it's only a matter of time until that leads to the death of some of our members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Did I get you right when you are saying it would be a dereliction of duty not to accept it? Don't you accept it?
It would be a dereliction of duty to support the budget itself. So the report, I think, is a good document. I have a problem with supporting the budget. And I feel that any MP who sees their duty as having an oversight of the Department of Defense should strongly consider before they accept this budget, this adjustment budget as it comes through, because effectively it is. We were already setting them up for failure with the unfunded organigram. Now with the additional employments and the cost of those, really there's no way this department will be able to meet its objectives.
Okay. No, thanks. Any other comments, colleagues? All right. It doesn't look like we have further comments on this. All right. Colleagues, let's go through the items. Colleagues, Peter, I start with you, Willem. Can you attend to some of the questions, deal with the balance?
Chair, yes, thank you very much. Firstly, just in brief to respond to some of the questions, Mr. Murray spoke about the 3 billion reference to the 3 billion rand in the documents versus the actual 2.8 billion. He is absolutely correct. I think it would be best if we change the wording in the document from approximately 3 billion rand to a stated 2.8 billion rand, because that is the correct figure. The use of approximately 3 billion rand was just to keep in line with the presentation that was given by the DoD last week. But for the report to reflect more accurately, I think we will change that to 2.8 billion rand. Then I think we can include as an addition in the recommendations, perhaps throughout the report, we can include in the 3 sections on recommendations, we can include the need for a zero-based budgeting going forward for all 3 aspects, including the DoD, the CCB, and the Arms Corps. Then we'll also include, Mr. Mutley required a spreadsheet regarding procurement. We can include that as a recommendation in the DoD section as well, as well as Honorable Olumisa's reference to a high level of discipline, specifically fiscally, and we can perhaps link that to the need for zero-based budgeting in the recommendations. I hope that covers most of the recommendations made by members.
All right, Peter. Thank you, Willem.
Thank you, Chair. I'm mostly covered by what Willem said, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, no, thanks. All right, colleagues, that's where it takes us. No, I note the observations made by General Olumisa and on the appointment of a new SecDef. I understand that process is underway, and we are expecting a decision anytime soon. But I'm not qualified to speak to that item. The minister will talk to it at the right time. And then on the discipline, with relation to department having the history of returning funds back to Treasury. Yes, we'll keep note of that as this committee. I think fortunately in the last 2 years, they've in fact been posting a deficit, given that they've been experiencing an overrun against their compensation of expenditure. And I guess the same thing will happen even in this, in the 2019-2020 financial year. And I suspect this is going to be the trend going forward until this question of underfunding in respect of the compensation of employees is addressed. If anything, they were actually taking money from other programs and shifting it to COE, because that's where the spending pressure has been. All right, but we take note of that. And then there is a proposition that is a proposal that Mr. Mutle is making, that we must monitor the procurement spend of the department in relation to women, youth, and people and HDIs, historically disadvantaged individuals. So in other words, please, if you could attend to that phrase, and how, in other words, we must monitor how the procurement spend of the department achieves transformation with respect to those three categories: youth, women, and historically disadvantaged individuals. And then the last point that the colleagues have touched on is zero budgeting. That is zero budgeting, that the department must introduce a zero budgeting in the next, hopefully in the current, let's say in the current MTEF, because I'm not too sure if they can do it, and they can do it come next next financial year. But this MTEF must see the department introducing a zero-based budgeting. The same thing will apply to its entities as well. Right. Thank you very much for the compliment, Mr. Ryder. I'm sure the team has listened to those good words. Colleagues, I think that then concludes our discussion on this. Must I take it that the report...
Chairperson?
Yes, sir?
Chairperson, just 1 point. I can't remember whether we have discussed it last week and how it will be dealt with. You recall that we have asked a reconciliation of these deployments. And I know that it's not really about this budget, but although there will be a part in this budget, in this in adjusted budget, that we just want to know, money has been allocated by the president, and that they report to us on what they've actually spent and how much they've actually spent and how it will impact going forward. It is not part of this budget, but just in terms of report back on a regular basis. Besides that, I think the report is fantastic, and I want to propose for the acceptance of the report.
Yes, Mr. Mare, there's a section that talks to them coming back on the business plan, in relation to this new money business plan, indicating their objectives, performance indicators, and targets, and the expenditure against the annual business plan. I think that will take care of your issue, Mr. Mare. Thank you so much. So specifically on this one, because it's new money and it has a particular purpose. So as a department, we have taken interest in it. It's a COVID-19 budget. All right. So, okay, colleagues, any objection to the report as this stands? All right. So no objection. We accept the report with those amendments that the colleagues have proposed. Okay, thank you very much. Can we now move to the next report? That's DMV. DMV, who's leading us on the DMV report between you, Peter, and Willem?
Chair, I'll be doing the DMV report. I just want to check, can you, everybody see the report?
Yes, I can see it from on this side.
If I can start. Last week, we engaged the Department of Military Veterans. And firstly, one can see there what is the aim of the special adjustment report, basically to address the initial economic and fiscal response to COVID-19. 1.2, just the process that we have followed. We made certain observations, and from there, we have made several recommendations. Chair, if one looks at point two there, the analysis of the revised budget on each program, members will note, firstly, that the department has been allocated 682 million rand for this financial year, and this has been reduced with 137 million rand, which means that for the rest of the year, they have 546 million rand to spend. And if we then look specifically there at how the three programs have been affected, one see that there in the first table, that the first program administration, there they've taken away around 15 million rand. The second program, socioeconomic support, around 90 million rand. And then the third one, empowerment and stakeholder, and around 32 million rand. So altogether, 137 million rand has been taken away. If one then looks further specifically how this budget in terms of the economic classification have been affected, we see there firstly that with regards to operational expenditure, they saw a net change of around 47 million rand. And then specifically, it would involve cuts on the implementation of new provincial offices. One remembers that there are about six provincial offices that have been established, but three new ones still need to be established. The second one is with regard to funding that will be cut for the relocation of the head office. And the third one there will relate to the associated procurement of ICT infrastructure. So that is with regards to the operational expenditure. The second one there is that the transfers to households saw a net change of around 90 million rand. And this will basically relate to the reduction in the building of houses as well as the bursaries required for military veterans and dependents. Just for a bit of context with regards to the whole government situation, the DMV then indicated to us that they form part of the social cluster. And these other departments in the social cluster have then been used for comparative purposes. And they, one can see in table two that the reduction of the DMV was the highest, namely 20%, as opposed to a little bit less for other departments. But because of their historical spending and especially underspending, it was very difficult for the Department of Military Veterans to make a case against the cut of 137 men. See, I think from section 2.2 onwards, especially how the various programs have been impacted, it is very important for us because here we can see specifically how the budget has been decreased. And I will briefly go through it. And the first one is just saying there that the first risk for administration would be the inability to pay for contracted costs, because there the budget has been reduced with around 4 million rand. But what's of concern for me specifically is that there in the mitigation section, they haven't identified any mitigation strategy there. The second one relates to the inability to pay for legal costs that have been reduced with around 3 million rand. The next one, inability to fulfill the workplace skills plan, a reduction of 2.5 million. And the third one is the inability to provide adequate funding for the three statutory bodies. With regards to the socioeconomic program, one can see what were the risks there. First one with regards to the healthcare, and there was a reduction of around 10 million rand. The second one is with regards to education support. There we see a reduction of around 60 million rand. The third one is with regards to housing support, a reduction of around 10 million rand. And if we move over to program three, the first one there is the inability to implement the targeted heritage sites. They had a target of three, and then around 5 million rand were allocated for that. So obviously that will be jeopardized. And then the second one is the inability to host and fund the three elective conferences. There you can see the budget has been reduced with around 21 million rand. And then the last one there is the reduced budget for COVID-19. There was a reduction of around 2 million rand. And in the meeting, the DMV actually asked the committee for further guidance and direction. And it asked it also to please note the risk associated with the reductions. Chair, 2.3, it is just with regards to the recommendations that a committee have made during our budget vote hearings in June. And the first one basically relates to the internal measure as well as the measures they've taken to assist military veterans and dependents. And there we're just saying below that as we can see in the table above, one of the identified risks is the reduced budget for COVID-19 by 2 million rand. Obviously, this is of concern to us because this one, to where I understand, was going both for internal measures as well as to assist military veterans. The second one related to the access to military hospitals and sick bays. The risk that were identified is the inability to pay the medical claims. And this was also concerning to us because it might jeopardize, you know, the access of military veterans, you know, to health facilities, you know, if they stop, for instance, paying the medical bills. The third one related to the delivery of houses by both the National Department of Human Settlement as well as the provincial departments and governments. The risk that was identified, it was the inability to meet the targeted number of houses. So they might have challenges in that regard. The next one, it was we asked them to give us feedback on the revised education policy. And above, they've identified the risk as the inability to fund and support continuous learning. Obviously, education is very important to all of us. And we just said we hope that this is only a temporary reduction. And if things return to normal, then the education support will be fully funded. Here, the last one there, it is just with regards to the appeal board. Remember, they've told us that they have serious challenges with regards to their funding, and sometimes they have to take money out of their own pocket to assist military veterans. And then we're just saying that we welcome the initiative that they've taken. Remember, they told us that they are going to determine upfront the amount for the appeal board, and they will try and then look after that. Chair, when we look at point three, the committee's observation, the first one relates to the downward adjustment and then its ability to reach its annual targets, especially as it relates to program two, the main service delivery program. That is the first one that concerned committee. And then the second one was related to the educational support. And we asked them, you know, in their consultation with NSFAS, did they also consult with the Department of Higher Education and Training? The third one related to the 21 million rand for the elective conferences. We just wanted to know more information about that. And it was indicated that this is basically based on historical spending, but they've advised these entities that they should actually now try and save on that. There was also a question around the South African Cape Corps Military Veterans Association. And the response was that they used to belong under the CMVO, the Council for Military Veterans Organization, but they've now applied to SANWA, the South African National Military Veterans Association, you know, they've applied to them, that they can be an independent member of the association, and this application is now being considered. The next one, Chair, related to the illegal occupation of houses that's designated for military veterans. We're really concerned about that, and then the department has indicated that in cooperation, you know, with the provincial government, the national government as well, the municipalities, they have now allocated sites, you know, for before construction to military veterans, and then the military veteran can follow through this process, and hopefully this will address the illegal occupation. The next one, we just inquired about the allocation to the appeal board, given the interaction we had with them and the concerns that they had. And then there was also concern with regards to the impact on the funding of provincial offices. We were very concerned about that. So we raised that issue as well. And the last one was also something that we've mentioned earlier and recommended in our budget report, is the accessibility of military veterans to health facilities. Chair, the related recommendations with regards to the observations, as first that we say there, that there is a service level agreement between NSFAS, you know, and the DMV, and remember the question was whether they've consulted with the Department of Higher Education and Training. They told us they did do that, and we then just recommended there that the DMV should endeavour to minimise the impact on military veterans and dependents, given the importance of education and especially the potential to render recipients less reliant on the department. The next recommendation is that the committee understood the importance of regular elective conference for military veterans associations and encouraged the department to find ways to address the various challenges to inter alia avoid legal challenges due to the expiry of the terms of the incumbents. The next recommendation, the department was encouraged to further enhance its efforts in collaboration with national and provincial human settlement departments to stop the illegal occupation of houses, and it should keep the committee informed of developments in this regard, as some members have received related inquiries in their constituencies. The third last one, the committee recommended that the budgetary allocation to the appeal board should be determined upfront and be ring-fenced to allow the appeal board to monitor its expenditure in terms of the allocation. The second last one, the committee stressed that the provincial offices should be prioritized because of the difficulties military veterans experience to access the department, and recommended that the department should minimize the impact on these offices. The last one, the committee was encouraged that the department is assisting military veterans to access health facilities all over the country, be it SANS facilities, public or private facilities, and we encourage it to ensure that these processes are seamless as possible for military veterans. Chair, that is the presentation with regards to the DMV. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter, for the presentation. Colleagues, this is a summary we are putting on the table just to check if you agree with us that this captures the essence of the discussions, and we can then conclude this as a report that we'll send to the House. Colleagues, may I invite your comments? I don't see the
I'm hands. Available.
Yes, Malia Keshelembe. Any indication? My screen doesn't show. My screen doesn't show, colleagues. Oh, I see. The DR. Who's DR?
Who's DR? Chair, you'll note myself.
Mr. Mutle, Thabo Mutle.
DR is Ryder, Chair, but my hand was up from earlier. Sorry. So, my hand is not up. Thank you.
Oh, it's not up. Okay, that's fine. No, thank you so much. Right. So I have these two hands. All right. Colleagues, I hope I'm not...
Hello.
Yes,
Hello.
General, are you indicating?
No, I hear you are talking about DR. Just add DR and add DR to... Just add to DR, add C. It will be DRC.
All right, so I have these two colleagues, Maria Keshelembe. I start with you, and then I take Thabo Motle after you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I think what Amin has been presented is what was discussed in our last meeting. But I think there are issues that I think they were not covered correctly. For instance, I'm trying to understand that if we say the budget for the statutory bodies, like when they are having conferences, yes, we said it is reduced by 21 million. But I'm trying to find out, because I didn't get the initial budget for 2021, because now I'm just seeing the reduction of 21 million. I don't remember whether this was presented to the committee. And two, understand well that the department said they are going to do their best, level to ensure that, the houses are allocated to the military veterans prior to the commencement of the building of the house. But there's something that is missing now that the department, is not showing here. What is going to happen to those houses that were illegally occupied, because I think there were large sums of money that were spent on those houses. So that maybe at a later stage we understand that whether they are writing off those houses or they are still going to make sure that, these houses are returned to the Department of Military Veterans. But Jefferson, the report, I think, it's fine. It's just that maybe if maybe I didn't get when we spoke of the reduction of 21 million rand, that is from how much we are reducing 21 million rand for these statutory bodies. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Maybe the colleagues, they will assist you. But let me recognize Thabo before we field the responses.
Yeah, Thabo Motle. Thanks, Chair. We equally welcome this presentation. But, Chair, not precisely, I don't know. I think we must make a statement. I'm not sure whether we can just make an assertion on the observation or recommendation, because we have been saying this over and over again. Maybe this time it must be written in red, not in black. So that, because when it's in black, it seems like it's similar to everything that we normally say. Our concern around the inability of the department to deliver or service their clients, which are veterans, which include what Honorable Shelembe said, generally their inability to deliver effective services as a result of a lack of leadership within the department, so forth and so on. I think we must, in our observation, highlight it in red, Chair. So we have been saying this over and over again. Seemingly, we are not seeing any changes with regard to that. So that at least the way we are seen to be concerned about the what we are saying, and the concern should be about the implementation in the at the level of the department. Basically, it's what I wanted to make an input on. If the color black does not work for us, let's make it in red, Chair.
Okay. No, it's fine. So that concludes the discussion on this. Let me. Colleagues, let me invite you, Peter, just to deal with this, and I will deal with the balance.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, with regards to the question of Mr. Shalembe, I think we should just separate the two issues, the statutory bodies and the conferences. Chair, with regards to the statutory bodies, that's now SANWA, the Appeals Board, and the Advisory Council. That is a separate issue from this conferences of 21 million rand. The way I understand the Chair is that they presented to us that the budget of the elective conferences of the Military Veterans Associations, that will be cut with 21 million rand. But they never told us from which platform are they moving. You know, what was the total budget and how they got to 21 million rand. They just said that the budget will be cut by 21 million rand. So he never gave us any other figure with regards to that one, Chair. Chair, with regards to the other questions, yes, I agree with the houses, but they just told us what they are going to do going forward. They never told us what they're going to do with houses that are already being illegally occupied. But I think that maybe one of, in our recommendation, we should just say that the next time when they come, they should give us an idea as to what happened with the houses that have already been illegally occupied, whether they are going to write it off, whether there are attempts to sort of return the houses to the original military veterans for which it was earmarked. The next one with regards to Mr. Mutle's suggestion, Chair, I think that is a very valid and very useful recommendation. I think we should maybe stress in our recommendation that we are seriously concerned about the department's inability to effectively and efficiently deliver services and benefits, and maybe we can just highlight that as the last recommendation in the report, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. No, thanks. And then add to that the inability to perform has led to them not spending the money, exposing them to hefty reductions by Treasury. We'll see how we put it. Because the reason why they got this hefty reduction on their budget was due to the history of underspending in the department, which is coupled with inability to deliver on some of their on part of their mandate. All right, we'll see how we couch it, but we take note of it. And Mr. Shalembe, we did not ask them previously what the baseline cost was. And now that they are saying this will be reduced by 21 million rand. What do you want to suggest in that regard? Or you want this be a subject of an in-year monitoring? Because you still have to come back to report to us in the first quarter. When we deal with their first quarter report. Must we leave it to that, or you want us to make a note even in this report? Shalembe?
Hello? Yes, Chairperson. I suggest, Chairperson, we keep it, because otherwise now to change the entire report. Okay. I suggest we keep it for the next meeting when we meet with them again to give us, what is the way forward.
So, no, thank you so much. At least there's a note on it in this report and of this 21 million rand. I think let's leave it like this for now. Okay, I'm happy with that. Okay, so we will, at least we're not burying it under the carpet. It's captured, which makes it capable of being followed up when we meet with them again. Colleagues, I think that then takes care of this report. May I get just get an indication whether it's adopted as is, as amended. Colleagues, are we happy with the report as amended?
Happy.
Yes, happy. Any objection, colleagues?
Happy.
No. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Colleagues, just before we close the meeting, we have developed the program for the third court. It's still soft. Because we have not been told, we've not been given the framework for the term. Previously, the term was 6 weeks, and we are told that the term has been reduced to 3 weeks. And so that actually affects, it will affect what we had in mind when the term was 6 weeks. Brian, can you just beam it up? I don't want us to debate and discuss it today, but if you have items to add, just raise those items, and now we'll record them. So and then we'll take a formal discussions at our next meeting. We're not adopting it, but I'm just indicating what is in the mind of the team that I'm working with. Brian, are you beaming it up? Oh, there it is. Just talk to it, Brian, just to say this is in the mind, and just leave it at that so that colleagues are aware that we are applying our mind on what would be in the next term. But I must note that a lot of what is going to be in the third quarter are issues that we flagged in the last two quarters, the first quarter and the second quarter. Brian, speak to those. Brian?
Can members Brian, see the program?
Yes, we can see. Can you see your program?
Yes, okay. Chair.
Okay. As indicated by the chair, the program was drafted previously before the changes were effected to the parliamentary program as a result of the budget adjustments. Hence, members will then kindly ignore the dates that are indicated on the program. For now, the revised program from the 3rd to the 17th of August is going to be a constituency period. And indications are that the third term is going to be from the 18th of August to the 4th of September. But then that is also subject to change because I believe tomorrow there is a programming meeting that is sitting that will be considering the parliamentary program. But as the chair has indicated, we had worked on a program which is as follows. We had I'll jump the first item, which is the consideration and adoption of the third term program. The first item being the briefing on the DOD, particularly SAMS on their health system and plan for the MTEF period. The second item being also the briefing by the SAMS on the repair and maintenance program for hospitals and sick bays nationally. Secondly, from the 1st of August to the 7th of August, there was a planned oversight period. We had then thought that we would utilize that oversight period for an oversight, joint oversight with the portfolio committees on public works, home affairs, and SCOPA for a visit to the Bate Bridge. Thereafter, we as the committee would then proceed to the border areas as previously planned in terms of the Operation Corona. would also visit and inspect the, in terms of Operation Tusano, at Four Vehicle Reserve Park in Valmansdal. Time permitting, would also visit the One Mill Hospital. We had also thought that would hold a workshop with the DOD on force structure, on the compensation of employees, on the development of an exit mechanism and force rejuvenation. We would also seek the presence of National Treasury in that meeting. Thereafter, we would then deal with the first quarter reports by the DOD, wherein we would also follow up with the DOD of the implementation of the budget report recommendations. That would also include this budget report. We would also seek DOD to report on the investigations into irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Thereafter, I would also, my apologies. We would also have TMV briefing us on their first quarter and also follow up on the implementation of the budget vote recommendations. Subsequent to that, we thought that we would also have a follow-up meeting with the Khoisan Nation Self-Defense Unit. Members will remember that that meeting, we had agreed that we would host that meeting in the next term in order to hear presentations also from the Khoisan Nation Self-Defense Unit, as they were unable to present in that meeting. We'd also have thought that we'll separate this meeting into two sessions. The first session with the Khoisan Nation Self-Defense Unit, and thereafter also have a second session with the SACC Military Veterans Association. One item that we could not include, that we thought that we'd just note it so that in the next term program would also include it, is the Defense Works Formation reporting on progress with the devolution of responsibilities from the Department of Public Works, as well as the funding issues in that regard. That is all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Brian. So we are tabling this not for a discussion today, but at the next meeting. And but we still allow your colleagues to submit ideas for the third court. Any quick comment before I close the discussion on this, General Olumisa?
Thank you,
and myself.
And then Mr.
And
Barrett.
Myself,
and Mr. Mister. In that order, General Olumisa.
Thank you.
Myself here. Okay,
Marke. Okay, that's fine. Thanks. In that order. All right, General Olumisa.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to propose that before we meet for to discuss this agenda, can't you engage Chairperson with the engage the Department of Defense leadership with a view to send few members of the Defense Portfolio Committee to represent the Portfolio Committee on the visits to the borders. And if you agree, you can request them to transport the members of Parliament either by helicopters or by military aeroplanes. It would be quicker. And you can do that within 2 days, I'm sure, when I listen to this proposal, proposed program. So I think you think about that, because it would also minimize the chances of infections amongst members.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Marais?
Thank you, sir. I think I support General Olumisa in that view. Then secondly, shortfall or shortcoming that we've got lately is with is at 28 Squadron. If we are going there and if there are going to be transport, and we will probably land or depart from Waterkloof Air Force Base, I believe it will be prudent from us to try and interact with 28 Squadron, especially after the loss of a few C-130s here after the last couple of months, and just know where we need to put support behind them. Then secondly, you remember I've raised it with you, and it has been, we have had a couple of times where it was said to us certain issues and subjects can only be discussed in a closed session. And we have requested closed sessions in the past. I don't see any indication of a possibility of a closed session coming up in the third quarter. And somewhere, because there are discussions going on, there are debates going on, and it will be prudent that that be done in a closed session, so that we can be briefed properly on those subjects. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mutle.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I want to also support the proposal by General, and maybe. In addition, Chair, we can add or divide the portfolio committee into two groups. Some when they go to the borderline, some can identify an area, like for example, Eastern Cape, where we have deployed soldiers to go and intervene there. Some can go there just to play an oversight. And particularly, we can target the areas where the department is building field hospital so that we see for ourselves where these resources are put into. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Mackay? JJ? Hello, Mr. Mackay? Have we lost him?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay, mine, it's not anything to do with the program. I just wanted to be reminded about the Khoisan self-defense unit, because I realized they've applied to be part of somewhere and so on. By the way, what were they defending against, when and where? Just to be reminded. Sorry about that.
Sure. Okay, no, it's fine. All right, let me start with you, Mr. Mackay. The Khoisan Self-Defense Unit wrote to the Speaker with a request that a bill be introduced in Parliament that will, you know, see some of them who could not be integrated into the defense force be integrated. They've approached the court on the issue, claiming that they were excluded from the integration process, but the court came back. But the court ruled that there is now no law that provides for integration. They went to the public protector. The public protector said, look, now there is no basis for their complaint or claim, saying that there is no law that provides for integration. That law was repealed, I think, in 2001, if my memory serves me well. So they wrote to the Speaker requesting that the matter be considered. The Speaker referred the matter to the Portfolio Committee. So we have already had a meeting with them, but for some reason they couldn't be part of the meeting. I think they were failed by the system. You know, so as it were. So, but we then agreed that we would reschedule the meeting where we listened to them. You know, so we have not had an opportunity to listen to their complaint. But in the meantime, we have received a presentation on the judgment, and we have also received the presentation on the report of the public protector. We have also asked Dr. Velem to research, to conduct a research on the integration process, so that we familiarize ourselves with that process. So that's where we are at with respect to the COSIGN. But we also noted that you know, there are forces within the community that have started recruiting people and asking them to pay money to be enlisted as members of the of this body, and promise that they would be integrated at some point. So I think there are funny things that have happened behind the scene, but we will discuss that when they with them when they come before us. And the committee hasn't expressed a view on whether there is a need for a bill, but obviously we can't make a view and conclude until we have listened to them, saying that they have written to the speaker. I think we thought it was fair that we hear the other side, and because they must convince us that indeed they have a case. So far, we we'll just leave it at that. And then the second point is the South African, the SACC itself, Military Veterans Association. It's Military SACC Military Veterans Association. And there was a suggestion in the same meeting, Mr. Market, that we must also listen to them. They've also written to us, basically to say that the COSIGN self defense unit doesn't speak for them, you know. In other words, there are many views within this community that are contradicting one another. I don't want us to enter into this terrain because we may got lost in it, save to listen to their request and to listen to the body that is now recognized as a formal body that represents the former SACC ex-soldiers. So that's how we've actually closed it. I don't see this meeting, I don't see us bringing the two bodies in the same house, because I expect fireworks. I see fireworks. We'll have a first session with the COSIGN Self Defense Unit, and the second session with the military with the SACC military veterans. I thought I should just say that in addressing you, Mr. Make. And then, colleagues, we've noted everything you said. I think they will actually enrich our program. So when we meet next, you'll have the program ready for adoption. For now, we wanted just to get the views of the colleagues, and I think the views are fine. But there is a point that Mr. Mare is raising. Mr. Mare, on the close, the 28th Squadron, interacting with the 28th Squadron when we were up at the Watergroup, Watergroup? Yeah, we will consider that. It means that we may have to have 2 days instead of 1 day, but we'll look at the program. Mr. Mare, on the closed meeting, I know you have requested it, and you see, let's discuss it when we meet next. You see, I'm looking at the Constitution, 59, Section 59, Subsection 2 of the Constitution. It says the National Assembly may not exclude the public, including the media, from a sitting of a committee unless it is reasonably, unless it is reasonable and justifiable to do so in an open and democratic society. And it follows immediately after Section 59(1)(b) that says, National Assembly must conduct its business in an open manner and hold its sittings and those of its committees in public, but reasonable measures may be taken to regulate public access, including access of the media to the Assembly and its committees, and to provide for the searching of any person, and where appropriate, the refusal of entry to or the removal of any person. So it's a matter that we are grappling with whether it will be possible for us to close our meeting, as given that there is a committee that is specifically designed to deal with matters that require that they be transacted in a closed environment. I'm still interacting with the legal section of Parliament with respect to a closed meeting. Maybe colleagues who were in the committee in Parliament before can advise us whether that has ever happened, that a meeting was ever closed. And I think you may want to offer some guidance on this. General Olumisa?
Mine is just an advice to the proposer of this meeting, and I would suggest that because we don't know what is going to be discussed, I would suggest that you sit with him in case there are sensitive issues which at this stage may not require the presence of other institutions or people. He might be having some intelligence he wants to share. So you will have to weigh on that, then utilize the act, because this act is flexible. It gives you powers to determine which things need to be in public and not to be in public. I'll make an example. We read a lot about what is happening in Mozambique and the possible involvement of South Africa in trying to assist them. There might be some operations which would not need to be covered.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Marais?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm still here. I hear what the general is saying, and I've got no problem that that you and I discuss that. Remember, there were certain matters that we have raised in the committee purely on the information that we've had, and the indication was from both the minister and the secretary of defense, and it's not only about the Mozambique. There was other issues as well, where they've said they will gladly brief the committee. But it must be done in a closed session, and we must respect that. So in other words, they have clearly indicated that it is possible and they are prepared. Yes, we are very much aware that if we go into a closed session, there are certain practical implications, and there are certain undertakings that we must give as committee members to keep those things secret. There's no doubt about that. The objective is obviously not to give out the information. The objective is for the committee to be briefed on sensitive matters where we need to have oversight. We know that many of that comes from our budget, and many of those things we must make sure that our own soldiers are protected, are well equipped, are well resourced, and it is in terms of the constitutional requirements. So the objective is not to get information to go to the media or wherever. It is for us to do our work and to make sure that whatever we do is in the best interest of the soldiers that we deploy wherever that might be, or whatever the subject matter might be. That's the only objective, the only and the sole. And rather follow that route
than have things out in the open, and nobody knows really what to do, and also nobody knows what not to discuss, because purely of information has got a way to creep out, and if we don't put it into a confined space, you know, in terms of a closed session, then it hangs in the air, and it makes it very difficult also to control that and manage that.
Okay. Now, I hear you. Any other comment on this?
Chair.
Yes, sir?
Yes, Chair. It's Brian.
Right.
Chair, it is possible for a meeting of the committee to be closed. Obviously, we would need to seek the approval of the presiding officers. But we would also need to provide strict conditions as to why we feel that the meeting needs to be closed. I think in that regard, since it is the ministry that has indicated that they would want such meetings to be closed, they can also assist us in providing those reasons as to why they feel the meeting needs to be closed. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comment, colleagues? I think this is, I'm getting a guidance in this regard.
Chair, Peter here.
Yes, Peter.
I agree with Brian, Chair. We need to seek the approval of the presiding officers. And it's very important that the department indicates they must actually motivate, you know, why it should be a closed meeting. And we use that motivation, you know, to provide it to the presiding officers to allow us to close the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. No, thank you so much. All right. Okay, it's fine. We'll pursue that avenue, colleagues, for a closed meeting. And even if it's not our meeting, but it's the minister's meeting, who invites us to her meeting, you know, and that will be another way of getting around this, if the constitution is so strict as it is, and so we'll find a way. But of course, we will have to look at the issues and decide on their sensitivities, and then make a determination on how on the best way forward. Okay, fine. We'll follow that. So obviously, that will not be on the program, colleagues. The way I listen to you, it will be a meeting that is going to be in between, either in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. But it's urgent that we have it. I'll consider it for the third quarter, but not going to be on the program, colleagues. All right. Colleagues, I think that then takes care to the end of the meeting, unless there's anything urgent. Brian, I think we've covered everything.
Indeed, we have, sir.
Brian, I forgot to take apologies. The meeting was correct. I looked at the attendance list and I said to myself that we do have the quorum.
That is correct. We did not have any.
Okay. The apologies, what were the apologies? So that we record them formally before we close?
We did not have any apologies, sir.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, thank you very much for this meeting. And the meeting has come to the end.
Chairperson, can I just ask you quickly,
yes, sir. We
approve the minutes? Did we approve the minutes, or is it by implication approved?
Yes. Brian, we'll have the minutes on the agenda for the next meeting. Am I right, Brian? Yes. It's not the
that
only set.
Correct, of minutes, Brian.
It's not the only set. I think there is about two or three.
It's two, Chair. I believe it's two.
Okay. No, it's fine. So
thank you
so much. All right. Colleagues, the meeting has come to the end. I wish to thank all of you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Nenzani utsho uvale umhlangano, nenzani utsho uvale umhlangano.
Thank you.